The hour of recess has expired. The Senate is now back in session. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of messages from the governor. I believe the messages are appointment letters and would ask that the reading be waived and the message be printed in the journal.
That message will be printed in the journal. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, and I would ask that you recognize the senator from the second on Senate Bill 1.
Seeing no objection, we will go to the Senate bills for perfection, and the senator from the second is recognized for Senate Bill 1. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the senior senator from St. Charles County. The senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry, I was waiting on you to recognize me. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 1 with the Senate substitute and the amendment pending be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the second.
I believe the senator from St. Louis County has an amendment pending.
That is correct. Senate Amendment number 3 is pending. The senator from the 13th. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I ask that you send the amendment back.
Madam Secretary, please send back Amendment number 3. Senator from the 2nd.
Mr. President, I would ask that you send back the Senate substitute. I would like to send forth a new Senate substitute that has been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Madam Secretary, send back the current Senate substitute, and please send forward the new Senate substitute. Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain your new Senate substitute?
First, I'd move for the adoption of the Senate substitute. This is Senate Bill 1 that deals with the second injury fund and workers' compensation insurance. I know I've kind of briefed most everybody in the Senate chamber on this, but I'm going to walk through it one more time. But before I do that, Mr. President, I want to share with you a brief story that happened this weekend when my wife had gotten the stomach flu and was sick, and so I was, what am I going to make for the kids for dinner? So I pulled out one of the recipes that I found on Pinterest that they love, and I was going to make Zuppa Toscano soup for my kids. And so I told the kids this is what we're going to have, and we were playing and stuff, and my oldest, Noelle, comes up, and she's like, you know, Daddy, I love that soup, but I don't like the spinach that's in it. Can you not put the spinach in it? And I was like, okay. So then later on, Scotty comes up, and he's like, you know, Daddy, I don't like the mushrooms. Can you not put the mushrooms in it? And one by one, all five of the kids came to me and didn't like something that was in the soup that they all loved and asked me to make again, and they all liked it. And so when dinner came, I called them all in. My wife still was very ill, was still sleeping. And I sat them down, and they all had empty bowls. And they said, where's dinner? And I said, this is dinner. You each came to me and said that you didn't like something, and I took it out of the recipe, so this is what you get. And it was really apropos to the whole discussion we've been having on Senate Bill 1, because everybody for the last 4 years has been coming forth saying, well, I just don't like this piece. Can you take it out? Or I can't live if this is in there. Can you take it out? And for the last 4 years, we've had empty bowls sitting in front of us, and the workers of Missouri have been suffering. So what is before you is a bill that I believe is the best policy for the state of Missouri. It is something that I think we re-wrestled the issue back into the Senate chamber and said that we as a Senate body are going to solve this problem and move forward. And I think I've successfully ticked off every interest group in the building. And that kind of tells me that I'm on the right path towards something that is a good solution. So when you start taking things out, you please one, but you don't please the other. And so I hope that together, when we have a finished product, it's something that works for the state and works for the people. So to get to the explanation of Senate Bill 1 substitute, Mr. President, everybody on their desk should have a sheet that came from my office that has a summary written in layman's terms. There should also be a sectional reference with page numbers that walks through each piece that is in there. As well, there are two summaries attached on your desk. One was from a previous substitute that I had drafted but never submitted, and then the summary for the version that is before you now. The reason that there's two summaries is because I wanted you to see all the changes that it came from the version that was laying on your desk. So you would need to look at both of those summaries for 0.04 and the current one we're working off, which is 0.06. So that's why those are there. Mr. President, this is a bill that deals with second injury fund and occupational disease. Second injury fund is what we're going to tackle first. Currently, the bill that is before you, it says in order to access the second injury fund, you have to have a pre-existing injury, either that was caused by the military service or a previous work-related injury. And then the new thing that's in this substitute is there is a third rail or a third option to get into the second injury fund that says that whatever pre-existing injury you had, it needs to be aggressively or severely agitate. The new injury has to severely agitate the existing injury, and there needs to be a relationship, a nexus. So if I was born blind in one eye and I lose my eye at work, I would have access to the second injury fund because I would be totally disabled. If I had hurt my knee at my previous employer and then I hurt my elbow at my new employer, those two things would cover because they were work-related. If I chopped off my foot when I was working on my boat at home and then I came in and I lost a finger, that would not qualify because those two injuries are not related, nor was one was done at home. So the idea behind it was to get back to somebody that was totally disabled. So if I was born without an arm, and I had my other arm chopped off at work, I'm totally disabled, and those two things are related. If I had an injury on my lumbar number 7, and then my second injury, and I did that in a car accident, my second injury injured lumbar number 9, those two things would be related, it aggressively hurt the existing injury, and I could get access to the second injury fund. It was another way to make sure that those people who are permanently disabled that cannot work have an access to the second injury fund. So all the other reforms in Senate Bill 1 are existing to be there. The other change to the second injury fund is we need working capital to get this problem solved. The last couple of weeks of debate, we've talked about allowing the director go from 3% up to 6% to solve the backlog of 30,000 cases, but that wasn't starting until January of 15. What we've said is we need to start that in January of 14, and for the last two quarters of this fiscal year, or this calendar year, we need to get some money into this account so the Attorney General can start processing through some of these claims and get the ball rolling. And also, this does help us pay it off sooner. So you will see an additional 1.5% for the last two quarters of this year. And then January of 14, the director can take it up to the 6% that we had debated previously that is out there. The other thing that changed was we had some debate on who should be able to approve settlements above $60,000 in reference to the Shamel decision. For those larger things that was paid due to the death benefit before we fixed the Shamel decision, there's still a handful of those cases that are floating out there. We had originally said it was the President Pro Tem and the Speaker of the House. Another senator brought it to our attention that could be a conflict of separations of powers because you have an executive branch function and you're bringing in pieces of the legislature. So we changed that to the auditor under the treasurer and the attorney general, which are all kind of in the executive branch of government. That was a change that was in there. And then we also changed the summary judgment interest rate. It wasn't 9%. Originally, we put it at prime. And we added that it would be prime or 5%, whichever is higher. It's kind of a red herring because if you've solved the backlog of 30,000 cases, you won't have any interest being accruing because you're settling these cases moving forward. But that would change the interest rate until we get the backlogs of those cases, which is a reduction, which is good because it will help lower the exposure. Because right now it cost us $14 million in interest just from last year to this year on the backlogs of those cases. So that is the changes to the second injury fund. The occupational disease piece. Okay, we have added a two-tier remedy for occupational disease. Previous, for the last 70, 80, whatever years in Missouri State, occupational disease, your sole exclusive remedy was workers' compensation. In 2005, under the strict construction of the law, an occupational disease was not written. That the strict construction viewpoint says it's not written, therefore it's not in there. And since 2005 to now, occupational disease has been outside of workers', some of it's been inside, but mostly it's been outside of workers' compensation. We're the only state in the nation where occupational disease is outside of workers' compensation. So what we had to decide was last year we voted and we put occupational disease back in workers' compensation. We also dealt with co-employee liability. The governor vetoed that bill saying, you know, there needs to be an enhanced remedy for those people that get a toxic disease, you know, such as mesothelioma or things of that nature. And he vetoed the bill. We came back last year and we fixed the co-employee liability piece. So what I have put forward is in our discussions with the second floor is a two-tiered occupational disease-related remedy. This puts occupational disease back in workers' compensation. And the first tier is, in my opinion, if you have mesothelioma, that's no different than silica disease or about 9 or 10 other toxic diseases that are out there. You're going to die, and it's a horrible way to go. And you got it because you were showing up every day at work, doing your work, and because of that, you contracted this occupational disease. And so, therefore, you know, there should be some type of an enhanced remedy. We said there's 10 diseases that are spelled out in the substitute that are toxic diseases, which we create a definition for, and we specifically list all of those. And we say if you are diagnosed with one of those, then there should be an enhanced benefit of $150,000 for that those diseases. That would be in addition to the other compensation you get through workers' comp, which is your weekly average wage of it's about $800. So basically, you'd be getting that for the rest of your life. And then when you pass on from this occupation, this toxic disease, then your spouse, this is current law, your spouse then gets 66% of that for the remainder of her life, or if you don't have a spouse or she's passed away, it goes to your goes to your children. That's current law. But what we're adding is $150,000 a tier for toxic disease. Then we said, if you got mesothelioma from a manufacturer of asbestos in this state, that there should be a second-tier enhanced remedy of an additional $350,000. So that would be a total of $500,000. So you get the $150,000, and if it was from you worked at a place where they manufactured asbestos in the state of Missouri, then you would get the additional $350,000 for $500,000 plus. You would get your beneficiaries would get the rest of the workers' compensation. We are also making sure that we are funding that liability through the second injury fund, because that is why we have the second injury fund, is to mitigate the risk. You pay a little bit of an extra premium to guard against this huge risk of a total disability that is out there. That's why we have the second injury fund. So when we have this toxic disease, it's going to be those remedies will be paid through the second injury fund, and that's a benefit, especially to small employers, Mr. President, because if you're an accounting office and all of a sudden, you know, you have this, you have an occupational disease that comes up, and someone is totally disabled, you know, your workers' compensation rates will go through the roof. But if your exposure is limited to the second injury fund, of which you are paying an additional premium, you know, then that is pennies on the dollar for a huge exposure. And that's why we have the second injury fund. That's why we're not eliminating it. And I think that is the best way to make sure that enhanced remedy is out there. So that being said, Mr. President, I do have a couple of technical amendments. I will walk through them. They have been distributed. So, Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Senator from the second.
I have an amendment. I am sending it forward, and I would ask that the waiver be read as it has been distributed.
Send the amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. And for your, it is 0.03S.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment. Senator, could you repeat that? Did you ask for a waiver of the reading?
Waiver of the reading. It has been distributed.
Okay. Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. The amendment has been distributed.
Yes.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
I would. I'd like to move for the adoption and remind it is 6.03 is the amendment. This is adding the emergency clause to the funding mechanism, thank you, for the enhanced benefit. We did not have an emergency clause by error of when we drafted it, so this will allow us to collect that money for the last two quarters of this year, and that puts an emergency clause on it so that we can get money into the fund. So that we can start tackling this problem, but it does establish the emergency clause in the section 287.715. To gladly answer any questions on the amendment. If not, I move for the adoption.
The senator from the second moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you rise?
I would ask for unanimous consent to introduce a special guest briefly.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce City Councilman from the great city of Independence at large. Very good friend of mine since I was been in high school. Christopher Whiting is here with us, and I'd like the Senate to make him feel welcome, Mr. President.
Would the guests of the Senator from the 11th please stand? Let's welcome him to the Senate. Thanks for coming to the Capitol. Thank you. Further discussion. Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Okay, I sure hope I'm looking at the right amendment here. It ends in .03S. Is that correct?
Yes, it does.
Very good. All right, so forgive me. I'm not sure. Okay, so we have an emergency clause in the committee substitute that was in statute previously, and the amendment is simply changing section references to refresh the emergency clause. Is that could you explain to me how that works? I look at your amendment, yeah, and I don't see the word emergency, so I'm not sure I understand it.
We didn't, when we added the new funding mechanism in this last substitute, we didn't have the emergency clause apply to the funding mechanism with the new funding mechanism that we put in here.
Got it.
For the next two quarters. So this is making the emergency clause applicable to that as well.
So an existing statute, it already has an emergency clause for 287.220. This is adding 0.715, which is presumably the new funding mechanism.
Correct.
And you're making that change throughout. Now, this amendment, well, now, just to be clear, is this amendment amending section, the preceding section of statute, which is 287.715, which is found on pages 43 through 47 of the committee substitute, or 43 through 48. I mean, this is Section B. Is this just amending Section B of the bill?
I just found my copy of the substitute, so I have to look it up.
I understand.
Yes, I believe, yeah, that's what we're doing, is we are adding that section that has the has the funding mechanism, that making it applicable to the emergency clause on page 49 by adding, instead of section, adding sections and then referencing that one.
Got it. So we are not, in your amendment, touching 287.715. We are only touching Section B of the bill.
Senator, this is what research told me that
No, I understand.
You're the attorney. I'm going to defer to research. The memo that they gave me with the amendment said that this is what it did.
Sure, and I see some friends at the table nodding and some other friends nodding, so I appreciate that. And of course, the reason I ask, you and I have discussed the subject matter of this bill. You and I have discussed the Senate committee substitute, and I've expressed that I may have some concerns with 287.715 as it appears in the committee sub, and I just want to be sure that in letting this amendment go, which, of course, I certainly support the substance of the amendment, that I won't have been previously amending 287.715 such that subsequent amendments would be locked out. That's my only concern.
No, because we're just referencing that other section applicable to the emergency clause. We're not changing anything in that section.
Great. Well, I appreciate your clarification on that. It's very important, and I appreciate your amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize the close?
I close, Mr. President.
The Senator from the second moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Substitute Number 2 to Senate Bill Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 1. Senator from the second.
I have an amendment. I would like to send it forward. It has been distributed, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. The amendment has been distributed, and you're asking for an adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2.
Yes, Mr. President, please ask for move the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. This one is the handwritten one that states by adding after the in section on page 21, section 287.200, by adding after the word weeks, the following is set forth in section 287.220 (15). This is a sectional reference, Mr. President. We're just trying to clarify on the enhanced benefit that it is making it very clear that where the enhanced benefit is coming from is coming from this section that is where it's created, to just try to bring a little more clarification to what we're trying to do to make it clearer. And it's just a sectional clarification. I'll gladly move for the adoption. If not, I renew my motion.
The senator from the second moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th. Senator from the 10th. The senator from the first would like an inquiry. Do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Mr. President. Forgive me. I'm just trying to make sure that my floor legs are stable here. This amendment makes a change to page 21, line 22 of the substitute, and I want to make sure you've been here 6 years. I have not. I want to be sure that I fully understand the contours of the previously amended rule before I move forward or fail to move forward on this amendment.
Okay.
So clearly the amendment would be changing the language of the committee's substitute with respect to section 287.220, and I guess it's, 287.200 rather. Right, which starts on page. I want to say it's.
I'm going to interrupt you just briefly. I know this is your inquiry, and I'm going to first of all ask that our legal counsel be listening to this because I usually get his confirmation on things. But second, can someone send back a copy of the bill? I just left it sitting out there in my last meeting, and I could use a copy of the bill.
Very, very good. And I'm sorry, I'm looking for where 287.200 starts here. It looks, I've got 140 on 11. Let's see here. It's, it is going to begin in the copy of the substitute that you do not have. It begins on page 18 and continues on through page 22. So, you know, if we adopt an amendment pertaining to sub 2 of sub 4 of 287.200, are we, in your experience, are we then locked out of any further changes to 287.200 on the substitute?
I don't think we're locked out. I mean, we're kind of in some squishy territory. I don't think we're locked out of 287.200. But I do believe we would be locked out of 287.220.
Well, the amendment is to 287.200. It references, we're adding a cross-reference to section 220, but it's amending 200.
Okay, now, and the amendment that I have in front of me says we start on page 21. Are you saying that this actually starts on page 18?
Right. I mean, yeah. The statutory section in question is 287.200, which starts on page 18 of the sub, and it carries on all the way through page 22. And the amendment applies to one line in sub 2 of sub 4 of 200. And I just want to make sure that if this thing moves forward, one of two things is either true. Either we are not locked out of further amendment to Section 200, or we have had our say on any other changes to 200 we may want to raise. And the reason I mentioned that, I think some of the most salient concerns with the committee substitute, at least that I have, are in this precise section of the statute that are – that would be amended by this amendment, as it appears in the sub.
That is an incredibly good question, Senator, first of all. Just want to tell you that. Great question. Second of all, we're actually we're getting a quick little legal opinion written up on that and sent back to us. And I wanted to ask you, while we're talking about this issue, Do you have an amendment in that section you would like to offer?
I sure do. In fact, I could potentially have, well, yeah, it's actually this precise page. It's my concerns are almost exclusively with page 21, and I have handwritten up something to introduce as an amendment to the amendment if need be.
Okay.
I could make it a substitute amendment, I suppose, although I would need to scroll down a little bit more.
Okay, so I just got an answer, and it looks like the only thing that we would be locked out of is removing Section 2 from page 21, lines 20 through 22.
So we would be locked out of removing that section.
Yes, but that is the extent of what we'd be locked out of.
Would we be locked out of any further changes to that precise line of the amendment?
No, we would not. We would only be locked out of removing it.
Okay, so to the extent that page 21, lines 20 through 22, pertains to sub 2 of sub 4 of section 200, we would be losing our ability to remove the what I would call the second tier of the remedy altogether. You can't remove it, but we would not be losing our ability to, for instance, change the number of weeks that would be part of that remedy. Is that your understanding?
That is my understanding.
And I appreciate that, and all I will say is forgive me for taking the time to establish that point, but it is a very important one, because the scope of the remedy in that precise subsection is something that is very important to a great many people, and is a frankly a very important part of this piece of legislation. So
I wholeheartedly agree, and I'm glad that you took the time to walk through that, because I would not want to have missed that opportunity.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for putting my mind at ease. I think the senator from the second has a perfectly fine amendment, and I sure hope that things play out in the manner that we contemplate.
I hope so too, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator from the second, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The senator for the second moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 1. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 2. Send the amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have had the amendment distributed, or I believe it's in the process of being distributed. It is 6.09S. I got a copy. I don't know if it's been done yet. So can you confirm that it has or has not, Mr. President? I would move for the adoption. What this amendment does, it's a very short. It adds one word on page 5, section 287.020. This is when it's dealing with the definition of toxic disease, where we have spelled out the diseases. We are adding the word only right after the word shall, so that we're just saying that these are the 10 or whatever, however many of them there are, diseases that are considered a toxic disease. Just clarification, because I think it says, you know, including, you could construe it that, well, you could have something else out there, but it is our intent that these are the ones that we are including as toxic disease in our new definition of toxic disease. I'll gladly answer any questions. If not, Mr. President, I'd renew my motion.
The senator from the second moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3 to Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 2nd.
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I actually do think you have a good amendment here. In the substitute, I'm glad that you also spelled out some of the other occupational diseases that people may get because of their exposure. So I just wanted to let you know I support it. Thank you so much for thinking about the other ODs that are out there. And, you know, I think it's a good amendment.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Let me start by echoing everything that the senator from the 14th just said about this section. And frankly, I was remiss. I should have said the same thing about the emergency clause. I'm very pleased that you took the time to make that change as well. Needless to say, I think the reason for the amendment is because in its absence, it's possible somebody could interpret this section to define occupational diseases due to toxic exposure as consisting of diseases beyond those listed in the section.
Correct.
Is that right?
That is correct.
And I'll tell you, to name one, lung cancer. It's my understanding that some of the exposure that we've been talking about, in addition to causing conditions, in the case of asbestosis or mesothelioma, can also cause lung cancer. And just so I understand, to the extent we insert only here and don't add any other diseases to the list, somebody that has the same exposure as somebody who develops asbestos or mesothelioma but instead first contracts lung cancer would fall outside this definition and therefore the remedy.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that there are specific types of cancer, lung cancer, that is caused by that exposure that are these diseases listed here. So I don't think, the way I understand it is I think that there is a specific type of these diseases. It's directly traceable, and if you're exposed, you're going to get this one.
Got it. Now, obviously, the diseases that are listed are medical terms, and I will confess I'm not a doctor, but do you know, out of curiosity, which of these may pertain to a form of lung cancer that could be contracted from asbestos exposure?
Well, I know the first one is mesothelioma.
Right, obviously.
And the others... There is. I don't know how you get these. No, I cannot answer how you get them, but I do know that this is a common list of all the occupational type diseases that the department knows of that exist. These are all of them.
Got it. Well, and not to debate the point, but. If these are, in fact, all the occupational diseases due to toxic exposure that the department's aware of, presumably either it's unaware of something or inserting only may not be the end of the world here if we don't. But I would say that certainly as I read the section as drafted, I interpreted it to mean only, and I understand that you're now saying only.
Yeah, that's our intent, is just to clarify. So you couldn't say included, but
not limited.
We're just only including, and then it just opens up to who knows what.
All right. Well, thank you. That said, I'm not a medical doctor, and so I may. It's my understanding. We have one in the body. Is that right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Do we have a medical doctor who serves in the Senate?
Well, we have a doctor of the day.
Sure. What about the senator from the 34th? From the 34th?
Yeah, he is a doctor.
Got it. This may or may not be outside the realm of his practice, but I may, Mr. President, may I inquire the senator from the 34th?
Senator from the 34th is not on the floor. Sergeant of Arms, please summons the senator from the 34th.
Have you ever treated a horse that's had any?
Senator from Buchanan, the senator from the first would like an inquiry. Do you yield?
Yes.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you, I appreciate your coming to the floor. It's my understanding that you are a medical doctor?
Yes.
And what is the nature, if you don't mind my inquiring, generally, what's the nature of your medical practice?
Just a general practice of medicine.
Very good. I don't know if you have a copy of the most recent Senate substitute for Senate Bill 1 in front of you there. Hopefully it's been distributed and it's on your desk.
Yes, I do.
If you could do me a favor, could you please turn to page 5? And if you see where we're adding some new language.
Yes, on subsection 11?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I will preface this with, I am not a medical doctor. I am an attorney. In the course of my career, there have been a handful of cases that I have dealt with that pertain to anything remotely medical. Been a little bit, so I have greater exposure to medical terminology than I did the day I graduated law school, but it still reaches only so far. I recognize some of the conditions that are defined as occupational diseases due to toxic exposure, but I confessedly do not recognize all of them, and I am hoping that you might, by virtue of your medical education, be able to enlighten me as to what some of these conditions, in fact, are. I mean, I see mesothelioma and asbestosis, and I can guess from some of the other names what some of these might be, but do you see additional terms listed in lines 18 through 21 here that you might be able to help enlighten me on?
Well, I can tell you just generally that these are exposures to toxins, and these are the names of disease processes that result from exposure to certain toxins. I can't tell you that it's an exhaustive list. There might be other diseases. In fact, there probably are other diseases that would include exposure to other toxins, but I would suppose that these would be the most likely occupational diseases.
And I appreciate...
So borreliosis, I'm not exactly sure how you'd be exposed to beryllium, but coal workers' pneumoconiosis would be exposure to coal dust. Bronchiolitis obliterans just simply means that your bronchioles are inflamed and they're, you know, blocked off sort of from the inflammation of the bronchioles. Silicosis is exposed to silicon. Silicotuberculosis, I suppose that it has to be, your risk of getting tuberculosis is higher if you are exposed to silicon and have the silicosis changes in your lungs. Manganism would be exposure to manganese. Leukemia comes about from exposure to certain solvents. I mean, it basically, if you're exposed to certain solvents, I couldn't name which one, but I suspect toluene and benzene or something like that, then you're more likely to come down with leukemia. You can also have leukemia without exposures, but I know that certain exposures raise your risk of leukemia. And then myelodysplastic syndrome, that basically, that's a kind of an esoteric thing that not very many people understand. You know, it's, I don't know too much about what it is that, what exposure would cause that, but I've had several patients that have been diagnosed with that.
And I'm sorry, which condition were you referring to?
The last one, myelodysplastic syndrome. So I guess, you know, I'm familiar with the terms, but I'm not like an expert on each one or what exposure you would have. I can just sort of generally fill you in.
I appreciate that.
If you ask me more targeted questions, I might or might not be able to tell you a little bit more.
And I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, the reason I'm asking is that we're actually debating whether or not we want to, in effect, cap the list here. I mean, the section here lists these as various conditions that would be defined for purposes of the bill as occupational diseases due to toxic exposure. The amendment on the floor is Amendment 3, which would insert only to the language that says that, you know, those diseases shall include the following. I think the concern that the senator from the second has, and I think it's a very understandable concern, is that in the absence of inserting only, one could conclude that the conditions that are defined to be occupational diseases due to toxic exposure could go beyond those that are listed here. And I think it's his intent. I think it's his intent to cap it at these. But
well, let me tell you what I think. I think that some reasonable amount of research needs to be done, or maybe perhaps has already been done, about all of the occupational diseases that have been claimed over time, and that it needs to include the majority, if not all of them, and put them on this list. And I think that would require some research or some study, and I would suspect that the senator from the second has already done that, and that that's resulted in this list. So you might want to quiz him down and ask him, you know, does this list include 95% of all of the toxic exposure cases that have ever been filed? Or he might say this is all of them or 80% of them or something, and we could come up with some kind of a comfort level that this list would be exhaustive enough for our purposes here. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, here's where this connects up with the rest of the substitute. The significance of the defined term that's in this particular subsection, occupational diseases due to toxic exposure, connects up later on page 21 of the substitute, where it makes it clear that there is an enhanced remedy for these occupational diseases, and a different enhanced remedy, an expanded enhanced remedy for mesothelioma.
Right.
Of course, there are other occupational diseases in the world than just these, carpal tunnel perhaps being among the most prevalent. So, you know, for instance, under this bill, as it's currently phrased, carpal tunnel would it would not be an occupational disease due to toxic exposure. Makes sense. Carpal tunnel does not require toxic exposure. But consequently, that particular occupational disease would not qualify for the enhanced remedy. And, there's in the case of that particular condition, there's a policy debate to be had about, one, whether that should be in workers' comp or compensation system or in civil court, but if in workers' compensation, whether there should be an enhanced remedy. The substitute omits that particular occupational disease or condition from the enhanced remedy, and we are trying to get nailed down what is and what won't qualify for the enhanced remedy. But Senator, I appreciate your taking the time to answer my questions. I don't have a medical education, and really appreciate the insights you've lent. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the Senator from the 2nd?
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
I do, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, my apologies. Will you tell me what the last digits are on the amendment that we're on right now?
0.09S.
09S. Okay. I want to make sure I had that right. And can you just briefly explain to me what...
Sure. What we're doing is we're adding the word only right after the word shall on page 5. Line 17.
Okay,
clarify that the toxic diseases are these right here. Because the way it kind of reads, you could interpret it that shall include these, but you could come up with something that we've never heard of and that it just falls into, and the next thing you know, you're just getting into this section, willy nilly. So we're just trying to say only. And this list has been around for quite some time. It's recognized by the department, and you can go back and look.
Okay.
But it's just trying to tighten that up just to say this is what it's going to cover.
Is there any concern that, you know, some new thing will be invented and needs to be added to it? Or can we just address that on an as-needed basis?
That could happen. Who knows? We might discover a new element in 20, 30 years from now. Who knows? I don't know. And that's one of those that if it rises to that level, then the body that we will not be serving in at that time would need to weigh that as a issue for the state.
Okay, but at this point, we're just going to limit it only to, and the concern is if we didn't have the word only in there, that other things could be tacked onto it.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from the 10th.
May I inquire of the Senator from the 11th, please?
Senator from the 11th. Do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Good evening.
Good evening.
Senator, I don't know if you've been following along with the kind of what's going on here over the last couple of days. But
Senator,
we have a situation where we have a couple of colleagues who had a concern about this section, and they wanted to briefly discuss it offline so that they could decide whether or not they needed to offer an amendment to this amendment. I told them that I would be willing to talk for a couple of minutes so that we could keep moving things forward. I didn't know if you had any other additional amendments that you were going to be looking at on this bill.
I don't.
Okay.
But as I understand it, I would share the same concerns that they're working on.
Okay.
I know that the senator from the second has worked. He's really done an amazing job trying to come up with a solution that is workable for the state and workable for this body, and he gave us breakfast even this morning. So, and I know there's been a lot of work, but some of the occupational diseases is issue in here, and I'm glad that there are some people working on this who are a little more versed about it than myself, because I'm also concerned that we don't limit and potentially hurt some of our citizens.
No, I totally agree. And the reality is this. The senator from the second has done an amazing job of carrying this and moving this issue forward. This has been an issue that has been haunting this state for a significant amount of time. And I think we are getting very, very close to getting a resolution on this, which is going to, you know, create, I think, a big sigh of relief from a lot of folks across the state. And I just want to, in our caucus in particular, we've had two folks that we've kind of made as sort of the lead on this, and they have actually, and I don't know if I've had a chance to tell you this, but they have a few technical things that they'd like to try to work through with the senator from the second. They've already given him a heads up on that. They're going to be moving forward with those after the senator from the second has gotten his amendments handled. And so one of the things that I wanted to be sure and give our senators the opportunity to do is make sure that nothing we're doing now will prohibit what they need to do in the future. And so
and making sure that the amendment is pending doesn't block out some of the things that are the concern of the other folks working on this.
Exactly. And so this is one of those moments where we just needed a couple of minutes to let them have their talk, and then they're going to come back in, and hopefully we can get a vote on this and keep the ball moving forward. But what I was going to do is just make sure that none of our other senators had any additional issues that they wanted to address, so that when we're in this time, we aren't just killing time.
Right.
That we are, if anyone has anything else they want to discuss on this bill, that we can be doing it now rather than just standing here. You know, and if you want to switch to baseball or whatever, we can, but that's my preference.
That's good that, you know, that some of the concerns they have, I think, are valid. And I'm hoping the senator from the second is working with them, and they're going to get a good voice on this so we can move along. I mean, we've talked about this issue, and maybe you can even give me some education. Seems like we've dealt with this for the last week and a half.
Maybe, absolutely.
And maybe that's not long in the Senate. I don't know, as I'm in my first term here. But it really is a problem. I was in the House in 2005 when we quote unquote dealt with this problem.
Sure.
And really we can see some of the unintended consequences of not using this time and making sure that we're dealing with all the issues. So,
no, I agree.
Kudos to you for trying to, you know, have this dialogue that we're giving them some time to do that.
Absolutely. You know, Senator, one of the comments that I've heard in the hall a bunch today is feels a lot like April or May in the halls and not like February. And you know, we're running around. I mean, things are moving so fast and all of these kind of pressure cooker deals that we have, it feels like we're doing them really early. And I said, that's fantastic.
Right. 'Cause
I never understand why we let that clock of May, you know, whatever, be this deadline. Why not make the deadline be earlier in session? And so I'm glad that we're having some of these discussions now. I think
right. I mean, that is a factor of real work being done, real compromise, real deliberation. I know many times I've heard that the Missouri General Assembly is like college kids cramming for a test that's due in the middle of May. And that's not really how we should be doing things. And compliments to the floor leader and the President Pro Tem for getting these issues and working through these things so we have a full productive session all the way through.
I
like it that it feels like it's later in the session. We should be doing this the whole time.
Yeah, I really, and you know, I think one of the senators, and I'm probably going to bring up something that's a little bit dangerous, but one of the senators has a bill that would actually shorten the length of session, and I'm actually in favor of that. I don't know that we need to be down here as long as we're down here.
Hmm.
And I see that I'm not getting a lot of agreement out of that.
Well, I don't know. You know, with just my experience of working through the budget process, it takes a long time to get through there. And if we move to, I don't know if the appropriation chair is going to go crazy to start talking about this, but if we move to maybe a two-year budget cycle or something where we're looking more long-term in our budget for the state, that may work out where we could have a shorter session. But, you know, the fact that we're working early as opposed to waiting until May is good. And, you know, in Kansas, there's no time period. It just keeps going on until they get their work done. So a lot of times they don't get their work done. They just keep going on.
Yeah,
so having the deadline sometimes is a good thing.
I like the deadline. I heard that there is a procedure on the House side, and having been untainted by the House myself.
Lucky you.
I don't know that this is true, but I've heard that there's a way that you could actually carry a bill over from one session to the other if it sits on the Speaker's desk. Is that really a thing? I just heard that thrown out there. I'd never heard that before.
I've never heard that. I don't think I was allowed to even carry a bill when I was in the minority in the House. But no, I haven't heard that. But that may make sense. Those type of things may make sense as we're looking through long-term problems. Because some of the issues that we have here is that we deal with things in a year when things are long-term. And that's what I think the senator from the second is trying to overcome with this bill is let's look through this long-term. Let's try to make the soup right for the meal and get everyone's involvement. That's how we should be doing it, as opposed to let's just get off our plate this year and
right.
have to deal with it in the future. And, you know, it's easy. We could easily do that with the advent of term limits. We can easily kick the can down the road, and then soon enough, none of us will have to worry about those things. But we have a sense of responsibility, and that's how we should proceed.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is, and everyone says, oh, we've gotten to this bill so early this session. Well, we've been working on this bill for
right.
years.
That's true.
And I don't think that we've particularly gotten to it early. I think this is the carryover from all of the work that the senator from second and others have done for the last few years. Senator, I appreciate your inquiry. I'm going to inquire of another senator here, and thank you very much for helping us get colleagues.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from the 13th?
Senator from the 13th. Do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Good evening, Senator. Senator, you had indicated to me that there was an issue that you needed to discuss with one of the other senators offline that was regarding the pending amendment. Have you all been able to reach a resolution on that?
We're there, Senator. Thank you.
Okay. So I am going to, at this time, sit down and let you
all
continue.
I hope you had some great conversations while we were gone.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th, do you yield to another inquiry?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, I'm sorry. You do not have an issue with the underlying amendment. Is that what you're saying?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
The Senator from the 2nd moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3 to Senate Substitute Number 2 to Senate Bill Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 3. Further discussion. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
And I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. I ask that it be read.
Send the amendment forward.
Put my name on it.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 4, offered by Senator Walsh, amend Senate Substitute 2, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 1, page 30, section 287.220, line 8. Of said page by striking the following, quote, all of, end quote, and further amend line 24 of said page by striking, quote, an, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, a, end quote.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Mr. President, this is just cleanup language. If you look, on line 24, page 30, I'm putting in A instead of an. It's right where it says when there is an subsequent compensable work-related injury, it will read when there is a. And then if you look further on line 8, I believe, on the same page, in section 1, I'm striking all of because I believe the intent is just to meet the two criteria of A and B and not all of the other issues there.
The Senator from the 13th moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 4. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 2nd, for what purpose do you rise?
First, can I have a copy of that amendment sent to me? And then, Mr. President, can I inquire of the Senator from the 13th?
Madam Secretary, could you make sure that the Senator from the 2nd has a copy of that amendment? Senator from the 13th, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 1st? She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Ms. President. So just to clarify, on page 30, you're just fixing the typo on line 24, changing the an to an a. And then up above, you are deleting the words on line 8, all of, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and that is so...
Only when the following conditions are met, when we meet A and D.
Conditions are met. Medically documented pre-existing minimum 52 weeks, permanent partial. A direct result of acrimony and a direct result of compensable injury is defined by section not. I do,
and
this is what we talked about, right? I do believe that I had met with the senator from the 1st on this issue. Yeah. I believe that's what... my intent was when I drafted this and he brought it to my attention. So I think that this is clarifying what we wanted
to
say.
That's exactly the intention, Senator.
That was the intent. But I would, if the Senator from the 1st is available, I probably will just clarify with him because of our conversation. But I believe that's what I was trying and how I've explained the bill every step was that. So I appreciate you kind of catching that. So, Mr. President.
Senator from the 2nd.
Inquire the Senator from the 1st.
Senator for the 1st, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, the Senator from the 13th has offered this amendment that changes that A to an AN and then deletes all of on page 30.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify the conversation that you and I had earlier where this was my intent. This is what you were referencing when you and I had the conversation previous.
Right. I think we're all on the same page here, and I think by deleting all of from line 8, it makes it clear. Okay. because the subsections under A are disjunctive, and then overall you have an and on line 27 that makes it clear that A and B are conjunctive, which I believe is what your intent is.
That was. Thank you very much. Mr. President, speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would encourage the body to adopt this, as was my intent when we drafted this, and it does clarify how we want you to have access to this fund. So I appreciate the Senator from the 13th bringing this forward, and I would hope the body would adopt her amendment.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from the 13th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 4 to Senate Substitute Number 2 to Senate Bill Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 4. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment. It has not been distributed, and I ask that it be read.
Send the amendment forward. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 5, offered by Senator Walsh. Amend Senate Substitute Number 2, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 1, page 36, section 287.220, line 4 of said page by striking, quote, may, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, shall, unquote, and further amend line 9 of said page by inserting after the word, quote, fund, end quote, the following, quote, other than those found in subsection 15 of this section, end quote.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. What this does, it changes may to shall, as it says, so I'm just trying to make sure that the folks that need to get these funds are getting these funds.
The Senator from the 13th moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 2nd, what purpose do you rise?
I just want to ask to have a copy of the amendment sent to me, and then.
Madam Secretary, please make sure that the Senator from the 2nd has a copy of the amendment. Further discussion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I also would like to have a copy of this amendment.
We'll make sure that copies are distributed before we vote on this amendment. Senator from the 2nd, for what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the Senator from the 13th?
Senator from the 13th, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Okay, so thank you for yielding, Senator. What line were you changing the may to shall?
Page 36, line 4.
Okay, yeah. The reason we put the may is in the existing law that originally created the second injury fund. This is what it says. But it's our intent that it shall be paid. It's fine on the shall, because I think they just copied this from where it was originally came to. And then the other part, other than those found in subsection 15 of this section, what is that referencing? Oh, I see. You're referencing the fund, inserting after the word fund, except for those in subsection 15 of this section. Okay.
Get the...
Okay, I know what you're doing here, and it's right along with more clarification.
That's all these are, Senator, clarification amendments.
I appreciate that, and I think it clarifies this is the intent. The may was there on the original language of the secondary fund. That's where research took it. But it's our intent that it shall be paid. So I'd encourage the body to support the amendment.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator from the 13th, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from the 13th moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5 to Senate Substitute Number 2 to Senate Bill Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 5. Further discussion?
Mr. President.
Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment. It has not been distributed, and I ask that it be distributed.
Senator from the 13th, are you asking for a waiver of the reading, or would you like the amendment to be read?
I would like it to be read, but I'm sure several people are going to ask you for a copy of the amendment.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 6, offered by Senator Walsh, amend Senate Substitute Number 2, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 1, page 21, section 287.200, line 27, by inserting immediately after, quote, employer, end quote, the following, quote, or at the claimant's option, the claimant may prosecute the claim in circuit court, end quote.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Mr. President, this is not cleanup language. I am adding new language, and it is it's simply giving the option to folks with these terrible diseases to take their case to civil court.
The senator from the 13th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 6. Does any senator desire to be heard of that motion? Senator from the 2nd, for what purpose do you rise?
First off, are you having that distributed, Mr. President?
We are in the process of having it distributed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I inquire the senator from the 13th.
Senator, do you yield?
Thank you.
She does. Proceed.
The senator, you are taking, giving the option to the person to have the remedy outside of workers' comp.
Absolutely. You and I spoke earlier, and we were having a discussion about, you know, now what I understand, this is going to allow folks from that worked for manufacturers to sue their employers, correct?
You're asking me what this amendment is?
No, I'm not asking you that. I'm trying to get to the point of why I'm offering this amendment. So the language in here now is going to allow for folks that worked for manufacturers to be compensated under the second injury fund at an enhanced benefit.
Correct. So
okay.
if you're talking about those that worked for a manufacturer.
Right, that made asbestos.
That made asbestos would have access to the upper tier. So the additional $350,000 on top of the $150,000 for a total of $5,000 if it was a manufacturer of asbestos in Missouri.
Correct. And then when you and I had our first discussion, these remedies sounded really good to me. And then I came back to you and said that it wouldn't work out for the folks that I'm worried about.
Right.
The folks that applied the asbestos-related materials or the folks that removed it in different situations.
So you're talking about the users of the product,
correct.
Not the okay. And
correct.
That's why we have the first tier is
right,
for
right.
those.
Right, no, I understand that.
Okay.
And the difference where we parted ways was I did not think it was fair that when a company we've known in this country, some could say as early as like 1926, but I would say it was quite not that early, that we've known that that asbestos is a killer, that it can end your life. I did not think that was fair. There's not many people left that worked for manufacturers of asbestos since we haven't manufactured it in a long time. There are a lot of folks in my age group that have removed asbestos and that have installed asbestos, and they're left in the second tier where, and please stop me when I venture off the path of correctness, they would receive a benefit of $157,000. They would also receive a lifetime benefit, a weekly benefit. So, and that weekly benefit would probably be somewhere around $800 or $900 a week.
$800, somewhere in there,
yes. Okay. And if they die, then their wife gets 66% of that weekly benefit.
Correct.
Okay. If there is no wife, the estate gets 66% of that benefit.
Their children would then, and if there would, then if there's no children, then it's the estate.
So, and the children get that benefit for the rest of their lives?
Until they are age 21.
Right, till they are age 21. Okay, here's my problem with that. Most of these folks that once they're diagnosed with this, a lifetime isn't very long for them. A lifetime to them is not 20 or 30 years when they're diagnosed with this disease. So that is why I'm filing this amendment. I know you don't agree with it. The fact of the matter is, it compensates people more fairly. I know you told me that you thought it didn't because some suits in some parts of the state, they were only receiving like $25,000. So after we had that discussion, I got on the phone and I called five people that I know that have taken, that have had these cases litigated on their behalf. And they have garnered a lot more than $25,000. You know, they've been successful right in court. And then I started asking around about how many cases there were probably a year. And I think in the St. Louis area, we came up with maybe 50 or 60 cases. I can't tell you what the outcome of those are. A lot of those, you know, my information was given to me privately. I can't tell you who did it. And it was just by folks that went to court. But these are things that people are not allowed to talk about after they've settled cases with these companies. Hey,
let me interrupt you real quick here. So you are wanting them to have the ability to sue in civil court, but to sue who?
To sue the
creator of the product?
The creator of the product?
Or their employee or their employer?
All of the above.
Okay, because right now, if we pass this, they still have the right to go sue the creator of the product.
So if I used Knopf for certain teed products,
you would still have the right to go and say, you created this product, it made me sick, I'm going to sue you, or my estate's going to sue you on your behalf. The workers' compensation piece is the relationship between the employer and you. So you're getting, you know, the lost wages and those things covered in, because they use the product. I believe I'm explaining that correctly.
Right, but then they still couldn't go back to their employer. They couldn't, John Mansville's, that was a contractor, Stovey Insulation, they couldn't go back and sue those contractors that use those products that they either installed or uninstalled for.
The way workers' compensation work is if you're the employer, you're last on the hook. You get that immediate. That's what we're trying to do is set up this lower tier where you're going to get an immediate benefit right away, plus the long-term benefits. You still have the option then to go sue the creator of the product because your product was unsafe. The employer didn't know. You didn't know. But that option is still you, but that employer that you were working for while you got sick is on the hook, even if it was somebody you'd worked for 10 years ago, that you're at a different employee, that latest one. So it's creating that relationship between the employee and the employer, but you still have that right as an individual to go after the creator of the product without your amendment.
All right, I'm not an attorney.
Neither am I.
I know. Isn't that something?
There
are some people in this
really
body that are not
attorneys. I can speak some really good legal jargon.
This is your inquiry, so when you're finished, I would like to inquire of an attorney.
Sure, sure. You know, if you want to inquire of one of the attorneys, I'm sure that you know, jurisprudence, habeas corpus, non interruptus, will be proven that my point is still moot.
Do they still teach Greek where you go to school?
Hell, I like to break things. All right, Senator, I am in opposition to her amendment. I think you knew that.
I understand that.
We knew that.
You know,
the reason we have
sometimes you have to agree to disagree.
I understand
still
that.
Like each
you
other.
Need to make your case. I believe that we're putting occupational disease and everything back into workers' comp because that's where it should be. That's where your remedy is at. We're enhancing that remedy. That's where it should stay if you give the options for two. Why even do any of this? Because you can still have dual filings and lawsuits out there, and it doesn't get us to where we need to be. But I hope you can find some
clarification to what I was saying with maybe some of the attorneys. And if I'm wrong on that, then please let me
know. No, absolutely.
So I will end my inquiry now so you can continue to get your answers.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
Of the senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I was going to try for another attorney, the senator from Cole or something, but you're on the floor.
I was going to say my ears started burning about a minute and a half ago, and so I decided it was probably going to be most efficient for me to stay in my seat.
Okay, do you know which amendment we're talking about?
I do. O2F.
O2F.
Yes.
Okay, you are an attorney. I am not, and neither is Senator Roop. We've established that. Senator from the 2nd, Mea Popa.
Senator, we do not refer to senators by their name.
President, I apologize.
Proceed.
Thank you. Senator from the 1st.
Yes.
You know, do you understand what I'm trying to do here?
I think I do. And I'll say, I mean, you know, we get into, you know, as soon as we have an amendment that goes on, and I think we're going to very possibly spend quite a bit of time talking about this Section 200. As soon as one amendment gets on, of course, there's the potential that it locks things out a little bit, at least as to this particular lines 23 through 27. And so I think folks should look at it very carefully. What you do here is for folks who have an employer who's a manufacturer of asbestos, they can go to circuit court against their employer. Nobody else can. And I'll say, you know, I'm not sure what it is to manufacture asbestos. I might understand what it is to manufacture a product containing asbestos. And I have to tell you, I'm a little bit concerned with that language. And so I'll tell you, you know, this amendment doesn't necessarily address that, but it does change the section, and that would be the last change on that. If I were somebody looking to limit, I don't know. I have some concern. I just have some concern about how things potentially play out. But, you know, needless to say, yeah, I mean, rather than having a limited enhanced remedy, this would allow the option of circuit court, which for folks who contracted mesothelioma and their employer was a manufacturer of asbestos, you know, that's certainly a very limited class of folks as compared to all who have been exposed.
The senior senator from St. Charles County told me that we have the ability to do that now.
Well,
that folks in my category would have the ability to sue their employers now. They can sue the manufacturer, but not their employers.
I think that's
because that is in work comp.
Certainly, the rights that we're talking about are the rights of the employee against the employer. Only that can be put into workers' compensation. The ability to recover from third parties would remain in a civil action. That is correct. That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Yes, I would like to inquire of the senator from the 13th.
Senator from the 13th, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I'm a little bit split on your amendment, to be perfectly honest. I know between last week and now, there have been many conversations and a lot of negotiations. And we have been privileged and honored to get to the point where we are right now. And I'm kind of split on this because I realize that, as the senator from the 1st and yourself have stated, that there are very few people who qualify under this because it's a reduced number over time because people are basically dying. And I know that the negotiation, the conversations that have been had in the last week also allow for the $157,000. And I think that by far is a long way to go over time. And I mean, from last week to now, that's a huge improvement. I'm a little bit nervous that if we go too far, that the reform we're trying to create here is not going to pass by the body. I understand what you're saying and what you're doing, and because of 2005, this section of people, this group of people, are able to go through the civil courts. That's what I was referring to last week in our conversations. And I think that they'll continue to be able to do that. Just the way that things are laid out right now in the bill. I'm mixed on this amendment, mm-hmm. just to be honest. I think that we've gone a long way from where we were last week. And I just hope that, you know, you take consideration in what you're trying to do.
First of all, I appreciate your eloquent comments. But it is a privilege to serve in this body. Yeah. It is an obligation to get as far as we can for our constituents. So getting this far, you're implying that somebody...
Senator from Franklin, we have certain rules of enter and egress, and you have violated one of those rules. Please obey the Senate rules. Senator, I apologize. Proceed.
You're implying that somebody has permitted us to get this far and negotiate this issue.
I don't like the word permitted, because I never asked for permission from anyone. Ever.
Exactly. But I don't feel privileged to get this far. I feel that it's my obligation to
continue to do this. And so this is not a wash on what your passion is behind this. At all. There is a balance, in my opinion. And you do what you have to do. I do what
absolutely.
I have to do.
And,
and you got here with the people who supported you. I got here with the people who supported me. You do what you have to do. And that is a basic fundamental rule. What I'm trying to say here is I'm not trying to limit whatever you do. You do what you need to do. But also, I realize, in my opinion, that there is a balance. There's ultimately a balance. This is something that I took time out of my weekends to understand. And I didn't have to. I frankly did not have to.
No,
but
you
I chose,
but you
to
chose to
because I wanted to. And so from my standpoint, where I'm coming from, I'm just saying there is a balance. And if we start teetering, I'm just saying I'm split. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm not saying I'm for it. You do what you have to do. Each of us is an island, you know, in here. No one tells me what to do, and I will never tell you what to do.
I appreciate that, Senator.
Yeah, and just let that be known.
And I respect whatever it is anybody in this body has to mm-hmm. do. And I want everybody to do what they think is right for them and their constituents. And
I just want you to know, all I want you to know is that I'm split on this.
Okay.
I'm torn in two on this, because I realize that the number of people is being reduced. I got that. And I also realize that you already have a means through the courts to become whole again. I realize that. But I support you. You know that I support you, and I support your passion behind this. The point I wanted to make is that I'm split.
Okay. I appreciate that,
Thank
Senator.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, we look around and everybody points to these sayings up here on the wall. All I want to say is that as a civilized society, when one person harms another, we hold ourselves as individuals accountable. I feel that these companies, the manufacturers, and the employers that knowingly over the years, there are employers that did, are held responsible for their actions. This mineral has been a killer since, has been a known killer at least since the mid-60s.
We continued to use it. I know I used it in 1979. So I want everybody to vote their conscience or do whatever they have to do, but with that I close.
The senator from the 13th moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 6 to Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. You have defeated Senate Amendment Number 6. Further discussion. Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment and move for its adoption. It has not been distributed, but I may actually already have copies and would request that it be read and distributed, if I may request both.
Send the amendment forward. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 7, offered by Senator Sifton. Amend Senate Substitute Number 2, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 1, page 21, section 287.200, line 20, of said page by inserting after, quote, and, end quote, the following, quote, additional, end quote, and further amend line 21 of said page by striking, quote, one, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, two, end quote, and further amend line 22 of said page by inserting after the word, quote, weeks, end quote, the following, quote, as set forth in subsection 15 of section 287.220, end quote, and further amend lines 24 and 25 of said page by striking said lines of inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, exposure are found to be mesothelioma in addition to subdivision, quote, two, quote, or I mean, parentheses, two parentheses, of the subsection, an additional amount of 200, end quote, and further amend lines 26 and 27 of said page by striking, quote, 225, end quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, 450, end quote.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President, and also would like to reiterate my request for it to be distributed. I apologize. I did not have accurate copies, so they'll need to be made. This is we just heard an amendment to Section 200. This is the second. There may be others, depending on the debate. The reality is that we have before the body in the last amendment and this amendment and any others that come up, the crux of what I think remains in dispute. There are still some other issues out there, but this is the crux of the deal. And there are going to be different points of view, and that's what we're here tonight to hash out. But the reality is when the dust settles and we either get an amendment on or we don't, what this bill is going to look like going forward, you know, subject to conference and what the House might do, is either going to be something that gets signed or something that doesn't, and if it doesn't, it's something that's either going to get overridden or it's not. So we have tonight to try to nail this down, and I think it's worth every minute that we take to do it, because it's important that we take action here. I think different concerned parties here have a lot of incentive to try to get an agreement done for different reasons, and all I'm trying to do, and I think all the senator from the second is trying to do, I think all that any of us are trying to do, is get this into a form where it's a mutually agreeable compromise acceptable to all or at least as many as possible. That said, what my amendment does, first of all, not terribly substantively, but on page 21, line 20, it adds the word additional, making that sub 2 start an additional amount equal to 200%. Sub 4 establishes what I will call the enhanced remedies. Sub 1 is what I would call the first tier, the ordinary workers' comp remedy. Sub 2 is the second tier, which is apart from those who have mesothelioma who go on into Tier 3, everybody else with those other occupational diseases that I was inquiring of the senator from the 34th about. And then sub 3 is the mesothelioma remedy for manufacturers only, as the substitute was presented. So we talk about an additional amount for Tier 3, but not for Tier 2. So the first change in this amendment is to make it clear that it's an additional amount that we're awarding in sub 2 and not in lieu of the remedies available in sub 1. I believe that's consistent with the sponsor's intent, and if it's not, I'm sure he will clarify. This amendment does two other things. Three other things. It changes the amounts of the enhanced remedies. It doubles them for Tier 2, the occupational disease, from 100 weeks to 200 weeks, and Tier 3, the mesothelioma, from 225 weeks to 450, and with the doubling of the weeks, the doubling of the potential award, the range of potential awards doubles as well. It also clarifies that it also adds the language in line 22, clarifying that the sub 2 occupational disease remedy is in fact that which is set forth in subsection 15 of section 287.220. That's simply adding a statutory cross-reference that makes it clear that sub 2 is the occupational disease remedy. Again, I would think that would be technical in nature and consistent with the intent. And finally, what it does is it strikes the language in lines 24 and 25, limiting the mesothelioma remedy to the employer and manufacturer. What the preceding amendment did was it gave all those folks the option to circuit court. What this amendment does is it broadens the range of mesothelioma victims who can claim the enhanced remedy through the workers' compensation system. So it wouldn't just be somebody who worked at the manufacturer's plant. It would be somebody who worked with asbestos, perhaps an environmental cleanup company employee. They would be able to get the enhanced remedy as well. That's the amendment, Mr. President.
Senator, from the first, it appears that your amendment is not drafted to the correct version that we're on. If there's no objection from you nor from any other senators, could we stand at ease for just a moment and have you come forward to the secretary and let's take a look at this version? Do you object to that, Senator?
No.
Are there any objections to that? Seeing none, the Senate will stand at ease for a moment. Now back in session, Senator from the first.
Mr. President, with unanimous consent, I would ask that the following technical correction be made to the amendment starting on line 4 at the very end, bracketing the words "and further amend" line 22 of said page by inserting after the word "weeks" the following as set forth in subsection 15 of section 287.220, close bracket on line 7. That's the amendment that the senator from the second previously made. It's duplicative. It's previously amended. So I would just ask the body's unanimous consent to that technical correction of my amendment. Failing that, I can withdraw and offer a different amendment.
Are there any objections to the statement from the senator from the first? Seeing none, that will be removed.
Mr. President, thank you for your latitude on that. I yield to any questions.
The senator from the first has moved the adoption of Senate Amendment number 7. Does any senator desire to be heard of that motion? Senator from the second, for what purpose do you rise?
Well, I wasn't planning an inquiry, Mr. President, but after hearing that explanation, I need to find out what his amendment does. May I inquire the senator from the first?
Senator from the first, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
What does this do?
All right. So we,
in layman's terms,
it doubles the enhanced remedy in terms of number of weeks. It doubles the enhanced remedy for occupational disease and for mesothelioma, and it removes the restriction of the mesothelioma remedy from manufacturers of asbestos and broadens
so all,
it.
All meso cases would access the top tier. And you have doubled that from an additional 350,000, doubled that, so it would be another 700,000. So with the lower tier, so it would be an $850,000 tier for all meso cases, and then the other occupational diseases, you've doubled from 150 to 3.
Correct.
Okay.
We've also made the technical clarification in line 20 to say it's an additional amount for the second tier.
Well, you know, I was inclined to go ahead and support that amendment, but that technical correction is what pushed me over my comfort level.
Sure. Well, but, the technical correction, just you'd already beat me to the punch on that particular
change. But you
kind
of need the technical correction to get everything else. So, Senator, I understand what you're trying to do. Explain to me this, and maybe this will help me. I don't think I'm ever going to get comfortable with your amendment, I'll be honest. But why should we treat meso different than the other cases?
Well, and what I would say is that the substitute does that. I mean, the substitute has three tiers. One is the ordinary workers' comp. The second is the enhanced remedy for occupational disease. And the third is mesothelioma. So we start with a substitute that treats mesothelioma differently. I mean, I think it should be treated, I personally think it should be treated differently simply because mesothelioma is a death sentence. It is 100% fatal, and it has one known cause, only one known cause, and I mean, it is a disease, and it is a way to die of a nature and magnitude such that ordinary workers' compensation remedies, in my view, are simply insufficient to compensate the victim and his or her family adequately.
But as it stands now, there is no enhanced benefit at all for meso cases.
Well, as it stands now, meso cases are not in workers' compensation. Under current law, a mesothelioma victim or his or her decedent can go to the courthouse and get whatever remedy a jury would award with no cap whatsoever. I think that's part of the reason.
But those cases are harder to prove, different standard of things. So what we're trying to do with what I brought forth was an immediate get these people some lump sum restitution. I understand. If you do have meso, you only have 6 months to a year to live, as long as also with some of the other diseases that are in here. So I understand, you know, we wanted to have the manufacturer of, so that they were making the stuff and it was bad and they kind of knew it was bad, versus I just got exposed and my employer didn't even know we were just installing pipe that was insulated with this, or it was used as an but recognizing that these are horrible diseases. So, you know, I have a problem with just carving out one disease versus the other. And so that's where the rub is. And then obviously you're doubling those remedies, which, you know, I thought the limits that we came in here we're a good compensation, along with the weekly benefits, along with 66% going to the spouse or to the estate or to the children. So I understand what you're doing now. I know you got to stand up for what you believe in. I do oppose what you do, because I think it makes it more difficult to get this finished product, but you're representing your viewpoint, and I appreciate the inquiry.
Well, thank you.
Further discussion? Further discussion?
President.
Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the second.
Senator from the second. Do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the first?
Sure. I think I cut him off mid-sentence, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Well, I actually had a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. So we have a few issues here. One is the magnitude of the remedy, and I understand we're going to have to agree to disagree on that. And you're right, there is a tension between the standard of proof. It's easier in workers' comp to win, compensation to win. It's a little harder in court to prove your case. Remedies are restricted in workers' compensation. They're less restricted in circuit court. And so there is that tension there. And I appreciate your effort to strike a balance, and I think that's what we're both trying to do. That said, there's a piece of my amendment, apart from the magnitude of the remedies, and we agree to disagree on that. The other issue is the scope of mesothelioma victims who can claim the enhanced remedy through the workers' compensation system, because all of them, every person who contracts mesothelioma or asbestosis as an occupational disease is going to be pushed into the workers' compensation system in terms of remedies against their employer by virtue of the bill. And as it stands now, the way the bill is written, the substitute is written, I would say the overwhelming majority of mesothelioma victims, in fact, would not qualify for the third-tier remedy because they will have contracted mesothelioma other than through being employed by a manufacturer of asbestos. And I'll tell you, some of the concern is whether we even have a manufacturer of asbestos in this state. I understand what it is to manufacture a product containing asbestos, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure I know what a manufacturer of asbestos is. So my question to you, my amendment puts it before the body, you know, is there any middle ground to be had here on either the magnitude of the remedy or on the scope of victims who can claim that third tier?
Well, Senator, the reason we have the third tier is the conversations over the last several years in the governor's office, his intent to have an enhanced remedy basically centered around the CertainTeed company in St. Louis. I mean, let's just call it what it is, what it is. And for those individuals and those families, that's where the whole enhanced remedy conversation started. I brought forth the other occupational diseases because I thought we can't just single out mesothelioma when there's other occupational diseases that you're dying from.
I agree with that, and I appreciate that.
And the higher tier was for those that worked at basically CertainTeed and were creating the stuff, manufacturing. I don't know the history. I don't know how the families and individuals were treated. I don't know if they knew it was bad and they didn't protect them. But for some reason in this building, there has been a negative connotation for those for that entity that I think they even bought the company from a previous company that knew all this stuff, and it is convoluted, but that's where the whole enhanced remedy came from. And so that's why that tier is there, is to try to satisfy the second floor on what they wanted to have as far as those individuals that worked there. So that's why it's there. Is there middle ground on the lower tier, the upper tier? I mean, I honestly, I kind of think that one's up to the body. I don't I've been down this road of, and we've been down the road last year of talking about numbers and back and forth and who wants what. You're never going to please everybody. I think you guys are doing the right thing and advocating for your position and putting out their amendments. And who knows, we might get an amendment where the body's like, okay, you know what, we're close, let's do this, let's call it a night, we're dealing with this, let's move on. I don't think this is it, and I don't think that you should put all MISO cases in the top tier, because the only reason there was a top tier was because of that certain teat issue.
Well, I appreciate that. That said, I mean, you'd agree with me, an asbestos worker who works for an environmental cleanup company that is in the business of actually remediating asbestos contamination, who in the course of their cleanup work gets exposed and ultimately develops asbestosis and or mesothelioma, is going to die the same way of the same thing that somebody working in that certain teat plant died of, but under this substitute, they're going to have a much more limited remedy, aren't they?
That is a great point, if I would have heard what you had said.
I can relate to that remark, and let me try that again. Let me try that again. I know we all have distractions on the floor, as I heard a chime myself here. Would you agree with me that an asbestos worker who is employed by an environmental cleanup company whose job and occupation it is to remediate asbestos contamination, they're in the business of getting it out of our schools, out of our buildings, that a worker for that kind of company that doesn't manufacture asbestos and therefore would not find themselves in Tier 3, that mesothelioma remedy, that worker is exposed and develops asbestosis and then mesothelioma and then dies, that worker has the same disease that somebody who works at the certain teat plant would have contracted, exact same condition, exact same very unpleasant death, and yet under the substitute, substantially different remedies would be available to them simply because they were in the business of cleaning up asbestos rather than making it or manufacturing asbestos products. And why should those two workers be treated any differently under the workers' compensation system?
I see your point in why and why we're here because of certainty.
Mr. President, I would ask for unanimous consent to have the body stand at ease for purposes of facilitating additional discussion.
Seeing no objection, the Senate is at ease.